vicious form of illegal entertainment.
Give me 182,
please. Is about to go online.
These contestants were already dead. Each was on death row. After 30 hours, I will set the last one left alive free.
The players. Ruthless killers. Boom. The game. Stay alive.
Game on.
You enjoy watching all this.
Let's go, sweetheart.
The Condemned.
Movie fans, welcome to another edition of From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen. I am your co-host, Cowboy. This is the Cowboy and Crossland Show, so I am joined, of course, by Crossland. How are you doing, Logan?
Oh, I'm doing great tonight, Roger. And, you know, we may be talking about The Condemned, but this podcast may very well be condemned because we've had audio issues. We've had to cancel a few times. So this one's very special for all you people out there.
Yeah. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this one, Logan. That's an excellent point. We didn't know that Logan was going to be able to hear me until I started talking. That's how things have gone on our end. So, Logan, everything going well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everything's going well. Work's been a little hectic this week, but I'm glad to be here with you talking about a movie right now.
Yeah, same here, my friend. Same here. And what better movie to talk about? A little spoiler from Crossland there. But what better movie to talk about than The Condemned, starring none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin. So for those who don't, first-time listeners, or those who don't follow the show, From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, not difficult to figure out, we review movies starring wrestlers. So we've done a few so far. We've done The Rock. We've done Cena. We've done Jerry the King Lawler. We've done others. We had not done a Stone Cold movie, and what better Stone Cold movie than The Condemned? Am I right, Logan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is kind of his first feature, you know, leading role here, so it was good to kind of dive in to see what he could pull off as the leading man. So definitely was one of the next ones we needed to watch for sure.
Absolutely. And because of all the issues we had with scheduling and whatnot, I actually watched it twice in the last week. I might be the only person in the history of the world to watch The Condemned more than once. So Logan, let's start out with high level thoughts, and we'll start with you.
Yeah, I got you. This movie was real intense. It's about 10 people who are on death row. Basically, they're going to get the death penalty. They go to an island and they get a chance to win their freedom. But all they have to do is kill the other 9 people or outlast the other 9 people, whether they, you know, they might accidentally fall off of something or something like that. But the point is for all of them to kill every other person on the island with them. And this is basically run by this like internet mogul guy that creates this like streaming service. And he wants this to be as like big as the Super Bowl. He wants this to be like this big tournament of champions to kill each other throughout the movie. And it's actually has 2 wrestlers in it. So as Steve Austin is the lead role, but Nathan Jones, who was in WWE for a little bit, is actually in it as well. He's the big, huge white guy that kills the guy at the beginning of the movie. But yeah, it's just a battle back and forth between a bunch of other people. This is a movie that would not get made today because they are actually, out of the 10 people, there's actually 2 women, and one of them gets pretty viciously murdered at one point. So yeah, this one probably is not one that we're making today. But they had, each of them had like a bomb on their ankle. And if you pulled this red tab out of it, it made the bomb detonate. You had like 10 seconds and then it exploded. I thought that was kind of a weak way to do it. I felt like if they could have like they would have had to have like killed each other with hand to hand combat, it would have been a lot cooler. But I mean, I guess it was an out to kill some of the people that, you know, might might have been easier to just kill them that way than it would have been able to, you know, snap their necks or shoot them or, you know, hit them with a bow and arrow or something like that. But
Jesus,
you know,
Logan, what a sadist. I after watching the movie twice, I didn't think that Logan's take, you know, less than 5 minutes into the show, his main takeaway was that it wasn't like brutal enough. It didn't go far enough.
No, I felt like the ankle bombs were like a weak way to go. If you're gonna dig into the violence, just go right straight into it. I mean, you went violent pretty hard in some areas, so just go full into it. But I mean, I don't know. I just felt like it was kind of a cop out. But yeah, I mean, it's just all about this.
There, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just basically about this tech mogul being this corrupt guy that's just making these people that really, really shouldn't necessarily be in this situation, especially Stone Cold's character, who kind of got wrongfully put in jail in El Salvador. So it wasn't the strongest movie we've watched. The plot was kind of thin. You know, the character that Austin played, you know, he had a girlfriend back home that was left all alone when he got kind of screwed by the government organization he worked for. I could never tell if it was a military organization or something, but a mission went wrong and they
you
didn't really
like
go.
A black ops kind of
yeah,
thing, right?
yeah and they like didn't go and help him whenever he got arrested because they easily could have gotten him out, but yeah, his character was kind of thin. He was basically just a badass and he played the badass role really well, but there just wasn't much to him. So not the best movie we've watched, but you know, It was good if you like a lot of action scenes and some vicious killing. So
not quite vicious enough, am I right, Logan?
Well, some of them could have been.
You're gonna go for it. I mean, this thing should have been NC-17. That's what you're telling us.
Exactly.
I'll tell you, I'm happy I watched it twice because I found it strangely rewatchable. Like I actually really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie more on the second viewing. I agree with a lot of what you said, Logan. I thought Austin, for what he was given to work with, which frankly, I mean, he might not have been able to handle much more than what he was given to work with. But with what he was given to work with as just like the choir boy, total badass hero, I thought he did a good job. Like a lot of these films that we've watched, and maybe even more so, like I think anything that wasn't on the island, like all the stuff with the girl back home and the bar and all that, none of it should have been in the movie. Period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
It didn't add to the movie. I would have rather had another 10, 15 minutes, to your point, of hand-to-hand combat or... you know, more violence, or, you know, you could have extended the scene where kind of the, you know, the contestant ends out exacting a little revenge on the people doing the show, which was, I think that was my favorite scene in the movie, by the way. But on second viewing, Logan, I'm surprised you didn't mention him. I agree with you. Not the best movie we've ever watched. But Vinnie Jones as McStarley, great villain, real piece of shit. Like I realize he played that role very well. I mean, similar to me to like a Robert Patrick in The Marine, right? Where not a redeeming quality. I strongly disliked this guy, and that's really his job, right? In this movie, and I was not convinced. I'm going to do a double negative because I'm an asshole. I was not convinced that he couldn't beat Austin up, right? Like, it seemed like it would be a pretty fair fight. Like, he was enough of a badass. What do you think of Vinnie Jones?
Nah, yeah, I definitely think he's a brawler. I think he could have given Stone Cold a pretty good fight. But yeah, he's an absolutely despicable, awful person in this movie. So he plays a really good villain for sure. And yeah, I think he's kind of a low-level badass. So I think he definitely could have stood up to Austin and maybe at least given him a good fight. Maybe not beating him. But yeah, it would have been nice to see them brawl a little bit more than they ended up doing. So that could have been a little bit extra of a scene if they had taken out some of the home stuff or, you know, the bar stuff would have. They probably could have thrown a extra little bit of fighting between them two in there, because they just kind of have a confrontation at one point, and, you know, Austin ends up actually just shooting him like four times in the chest. So, but yeah, to kind of see them brawl a little bit probably would have been a good, strong scene for sure. And I thought Vinnie Jones was probably the best part of this movie for sure.
He was I agree with that. Definitely the best part of the movie. I really enjoyed the scene where so one of the things, like, some kind of the premise of the movie, right? What they're going for is like a survivor on steroids. You can kind of see like this is where we're headed type of deal, considering it came out in 07, kind of, you know, toward the little past maybe the peak of that reality stuff, but right around there, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
This is where we're headed. And you had inside, like, the production crew, you had some people who were the good people, right, who thought it was fucked up what they were doing.
Yeah.
And then you had the people who were, like, you know, like the keyboard warriors who were cheering it on and, you know, yeah. And Vinnie Jones ends out at the toward the end. He ends out in, like, the production trailer. And he just blows them all away. Just fucking fucking kills all three of them. The ones that were really, like, going in, were really into the violence on the show. And I thought that this was pretty interesting, because Vinnie Jones had spent the previous hour and 20 minutes or so just being the most despicable human being I've ever seen
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to hate him. But in that scene, I wanted him to kill all three of those people. I was rooting for him, and I wish that he would have killed them more dramatically than he did, you know, a little more than just a couple of gunshots.
Yeah. And I mean, he, like, earlier in the movie, and we'll get to this scene later, but, like, there's a couple from Mexico that's in this. Like, it's a husband and wife, and they beat the shit out of that girl. So, like, you know, you did that much violence. Like, that's kind of where I was coming from with the violence thing and the bombs and all that. Like, if you're gonna do that, because that's pretty despicable and awful, because him and his little he had, like, an Asian counterpart that was kind of his teammate throughout the whole thing. They kind of teamed up at the beginning and said, oh, we'll brawl it out at the end, you know. But if you did that, like, you know, yeah, really, really viciously beat the shit out of him and stuff like that. I mean, you know, you did that at that certain point, and you, like, made the guy watch his wife get just beaten to death. So, I mean, yeah, just really go all into it at that point. I mean, it's just, like, that's just how the movie should have been. It shouldn't have been as, like, easy as they made it seem at the end. So I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, and I mean, they insinuated that it was a little more than a beating, I think.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
As well. I mean, it was a really despicable scene. And to your point, I don't think would get made today and shouldn't get made today.
Oh, absolutely.
But it did build him up. If you're trying to make the audience hate a guy, he was certainly hateful. And like I said, I thought he kind of had that, like, he was like the, you know, Austin was like a special forces guy, and you could tell Vinnie Jones was too, but, like, the special forces guy that was also just, like, a sadistic, crazy fuck, you know? And so he was a good match for Austin. They could have executed it better, but between him and then the guy who was kind of the main producer, right? Breckel, however it was pronounced. Mm. He was also despicable. And side note, I went the first half of the first viewing sure that he was the Dr. Michael from Melrose Place, only to find out he wasn't. So that was excellent.
Yeah, I don't think that was him. he was pretty despicable as well. And the fact I kind of liked his little sidekick guy, because he, you know, he kind of saw the girlfriend of the producer guy was seeing, kind of the despicableness of it all, and he kind of turns on him at the end and he kills the poor top keyboard warrior, or whatever you want to call him. So I thought that was a pretty despicable move, because I actually know that guy from another show, and he's actually a really cool character in that show. So it was kind of sad to see him eventually die at Breckel's hands. So yeah,
Rick Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a, he's at least a recognizable actor. He's in, what, Billions?
Yeah, and he was in a show called Suits that was on USA, and me and my wife had like just watched that recently. So, and he's like one of the main characters in that show. So,
I mean, from an acting perspective, this is one of those movies where he may as well have been Daniel Day-Lewis with how much better of an actor he was than anyone else in the movie. Yeah, agreed, right? I mean, no one in this movie could act. Like, even Vinnie Jones, I feel like he was probably playing himself a little bit. I feel like he's probably just kind of an asshole.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. I think Vinnie Jones kind of plays that character in all of his TV shows or movies that he does. He's kind of the British loud asshole that nobody really likes but can kick your ass at the same time. So
there's no way he's not like that in real life, right? Like, he's not playing a role. That's just who he is. I'm convinced of it.
He's maybe a little less of an asshole, but he's probably still a pretty big asshole at the same time.
All right, Logan. Favorite scene?
I'm going to go with, I'm going to get the character's name up right now. I couldn't remember. But the Asian fella that was Vinnie Jones' sidekick.
Saiga.
Okay, so Saiga and Steve Austin have Jack Conrad of Steve Austin's character's name. They have a fight at one point. Kind of that's the final person he has to kill before it comes down to him and Vinnie Jones' character. So I really liked the hand-to-hand combat they had in that one. Saiga comes out with some crazy karate moves and can jump all around and do some crazy stuff. And, you know, Austin kind of has to use his power and kind of his knowledge of using like knives and stuff like that to kind of take him down and eventually kill him and win the fight between the two of them. But I really enjoyed that little back and forth between those two guys. What was your favorite scene?
Yeah, well, I mean, talking about that scene, the way Austin arranged the fight where he was able to beat and kill Saiga while also never giving Vinnie Jones a clear shot, who was extremely close to them, was really top level stuff. I don't know if the actual Steve Austin would have that kind of dexterity, you know, because it was more than just brute strength. It was, you know, very cerebral.
Yeah, kind of knowing where he was at all times. Yeah, that was a really cool part of it as well, for sure.
So my favorite scene was the Vinnie Jones killing the keyboard warriors. We talked about that. So my second favorite, and I really liked the ending, and you're going to think I'm an asshole, but I really liked the ending where Austin like shot the helicopter out of the sky, like without like a rocket launcher or anything, like where the guy thought he was getting away. And then Austin, you know, it was like a handgun, right? I don't have it up in front of me, but it was or a rifle, whatever he did. Shooting the helicopter.
he threw the ankle monitor out. He threw the ankle.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
see, he took the helicopter down. And I'm an asshole for getting it wrong. Didn't he shoot it though first? And he got
he had like a machine gun and he was shooting at it, but he obviously wasn't getting anywhere with that. And then the girlfriend of the producer guy emerges with the last ankle monitor.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, they pull the red strip and he just chucks it and it lands like perfectly right next to Breckle's feet, but he had just sat fastened his seatbelt. So anybody out there that says you should fasten your seatbelt, well, this guy shouldn't have, and he died because he had to buckle his seatbelt first.
That's so right. It was a great toss by Austin.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to say don't buckle your seatbelt. Everybody buckle their seatbelt when you get into any kind of vehicle, but it kind of screwed this guy at this point. So.
So look, Crossland has a heart of gold, guys. Of all the stuff we say on this show, he's like, listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't buckle your seatbelt. Okay. Just, I want to make that perfectly clear. Everybody buckle up. If anyone is listening to this show for safety advice from Logan and I, it's time to take a quick look in the mirror and really reevaluate things because your life's going nowhere.
Yep, that'd be a dangerous place to be. So I hope nobody's gone.
No qualifier needed, Logan. Should not have had that seatbelt on. Period.
Absolutely not.
There's no circumstance where he should have that seatbelt on. So that's good. It's good. So the movie was made in 2007. I'm going to jump around a little on the categories if you're all right with that. You okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Movie was made back in 2007, so we've got some time in between. If you could pick a guy today, a wrestler today, to play the Steve Austin character, who would that wrestler be?
Who would that wrestler be? Man, that's a good question. I would probably have to go with McIntyre. I think he's a pretty good badass, and I think he could be really good in a role like this. So that's probably who I would pick. Maybe a Lesnar. A Lesnar could be probably a good one since he has the fighting background, so he could, you know, pull out a couple of extra moves and stuff like that. But who do you think who you would put in there?
McIntyre's like your go-to.
I love McIntyre.
McIntyre can act, huh?
Yeah, I think he can pull it off. I mean, you know, it's a WWE film, so it doesn't have to be great or anything like that. So I think he could probably pull it off. But I love me some McIntyre. So I just think he's big. He's kind of he plays a badass at least. I think he's an actual pretty good badass. So, I just think he's a pretty strong, pretty strong dude.
I suppose he probably is like maybe the closest thing they have to a Stone Cold right now, right?
Yeah, right now, yeah. There's probably a couple other guys, but yeah, he's pretty strong up there. So what do you think?
This specific movie, because of, he doesn't really need any acting ability, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe 15, 20 lines in the whole movie. Mm-hmm. To me, you just want a guy who looks good and who looks like he can really kick ass. Excuse me for that, audience. Bobby Lashley. I would go Bobby Lashley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a good one as well, because he has a little bit of MMA background too, so he could do a little bit more fighting, technical fighting like maybe Lesnar could as well. So yeah, that's a good pick for sure.
Yeah, it's just like to me, it's like for this kind of character, the look, right, is probably the most important thing, because he doesn't really need to act. He just needs to kick the shit out of people, and he needs to be intimidating. Mm-hmm. And to me, Lashley just has, like, of all the guys in the whole WWE, like, who I, like, wouldn't want to fight. Like, if you just lined them up and said, pick the one guy you don't want to fight, I would probably pick Lashley, right? Like, I think I would rather fight Drew McIntyre than Bobby Lashley. What about you? came down to it.
I really wouldn't want to fight either, if I'm being honest with you. I don't know. I think I'd probably rather fight Lashley. McIntyre has a little bit of Scottish in him, so he could be a little bit more wild than Lashley is. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to face either of them, if I'm being honest.
So what if it was both of us? Do you think the two of us could take either Drew McIntyre or Bobby Lashley? 2-on-1 handicap match.
Oh, man. Probably not, if I'm being honest. But
a fighter. We'll just start with that. So it happens like a cowboy is the distraction. So I kind of throw myself into the fray. Mm-hmm. And while they're just beating the shit out of me, you need to come in and land the home run. You get one shot at it. That's it. I think you never know, Crossland. Maybe this will happen someday. We can sit out.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we'll be stuck on an island with Drew McIntyre or Bobby Lashley. We'll have the chance to kick their ass. So
yeah, or maybe just somebody on the streets in New Orleans at one point or another.
Our life. Yeah, Jake, you never
know. Maybe Jake Williams will want to try to take us. What do you think?
No, I definitely think we could take Jake. Just a quick shot to the gut, and he'll be down. So,
love you, Jake.
Yeah, we love you too, Jake.
All right. So, least favorite scene in the movie. I mean, take out the one, the obvious one. That's just kind of like where they just went too far, beating up the girl. Like, it was just no good. Yeah. Did you have any other scenes that you thought were kind of shitty and hokey or just not good?
That was the layup that you can obviously go with, because it's just kind of despicable looking back at it now. I didn't like the fact that Goldman or Goldie or whatever you want to call him, Rick Hoffman's character, died. I thought that really sucked. I would have liked to have seen him kind of redeem himself and, you know, maybe help out at the end by killing Breckle or whatever his name. Breckle is his name. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I would have liked to have seen him get a little bit of redemption. You know, maybe Breckel kicks the shit out of him. He leaves him alive. But, you know, he kind of survives in the end. And maybe he helps Austin, you know, kill him at the end. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of shitty that they kill him so deep into the movie. Like, just let him live and help him, you know, let him help them or whoever ends up taking down Breckel, help him take him down. So I kind of thought that was shitty that they killed him as deep into the movie as they did.
The way he died was shitty too, because I mean he was a pretty important character, and like we mentioned, I mean I think just because he's like a halfway decent actor, he seemed to kind of really jump off the screen whenever he was on the screen, and like his kind of dissension from, or ascension, however you want to look at it, from kind of really being on board with Breckel all the way to, like, you know, having the, you know, one of the few people in that trailer who had morals. And then, like, so it was definitely building up to something. And all he does, he confronts Breckel and then just goes out like a total pussy. Like, it's like an idiot. Like clearly that guy was going to do something. And he just didn't realize it. And there wasn't even a fight. He just kind of just got killed, and I didn't like the way they did that either, Logan. I thought he at least should have had, if he was going to die, at least go out a little bit like a hero, or not just like, oh, I'm just going to let the guy stabbed him, right? I'm just going to let this guy stab me, and now I'm dead, right?
Yeah, there wasn't even like a back and forth before that or something like that. He didn't even get a chance to really even get a shot in or anything like that. He just kind of got stabbed and fell over and died. So, I didn't want to see the girlfriend get killed either or anything like that. So I'm not going to throw her under the bus. But even if like he survived and maybe she didn't and he got the redemption, because you know she was, I don't know. She was like tried to see the good part in Breckel, but like, you know, she wasn't completely necessary. Kind of like the home and bar stuff, you know, you could have had Goldie or Rick Hoffman be the the character that saw the bad in all of they were doing and be the guy that ends up helping Steve Austin's character kill him at the end. So, I just didn't like how they ended up kind of treating him like kind of a pussy, even though I think he was kind of a techie guy, so he probably didn't have much fighting skills to really get back with him at, but it would have liked to have seen him at least put up a fight.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, you alluded to what my least favorite scenes were, and I kind of talked about it earlier, was I really felt like, a lot of times, like, the girlfriend angle or whatever is useless in a movie. It was like very much so in this movie. All that stuff was useless, completely useless. You could have in 30 seconds just said Austin's a special forces guy. He was in Salvadorian prison for taking one for the team. Like even the stuff where they were with the NSA or whatever, right? Going back to that guy, like none of it mattered to me.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm doing this movie, that's about a minute and a half for Austin's backstory, because it's not like it's complicated, like anyone with half a brain can figure it out, and the rest of the movie is action on that island.
Yeah, and I mean the government organization, whatever you want to call them, whatever kind of government organization they were, they didn't even really end up helping him. The only thing they really did was come and pick him up when it was all over, and it was just him and the girl that were left. So, I mean,
they didn't do shit. He had to do it all by himself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he had to blow up the plane. It didn't even get shot at or anything like that. He literally had to do it all himself. So, I mean, literally all they do is pick him up. So that whole storyline, I mean, he had to get home somehow, I guess. But like, I don't know. A lot of that stuff, especially the government stuff, was really pointless. I mean, I get maybe having contact with a girl and like maybe she figures out a way to get somebody to go get him. But really, like other than digging into his backstory, like you said, that was just completely pointless for sure.
Yeah. So looking at the movie, I didn't remember this being released in the theaters. So I kind of went into this. I had thought it might be direct to DVD, but no, it was released in the theaters, Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, a lot of these first, like the first like five or six WWE films I remembered at least being released in some theaters. It might not have been like a worldwide thing. Like, I don't think The Chaperone that Triple H is in, that hope to God we may not have to do someday, but we probably will. I think that one was only in limited theaters, but I think the first four or five of them, which I think this was the maybe the third or fourth WWE film that they made, probably the third, because I think it was See No Evil, Marine, and then they made this. So I knew the first four or five at least went into theaters, even if it may have been in a limited capacity.
Yeah, so it grossed a total of $8.6 million worldwide, which seems like a low number to me. So probably not a rousing box office success. I can't imagine paying to go see this. I mean, I thought it was pretty good on the second watch, but you know, you go to the movies, you're expecting something a little bit higher quality than The Condemned. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. I was very pumped to see that this was free on Hulu. So whenever I figured that out, I was like, yes, I don't actually have to pay for this one.
And could this movie work today? And if yes, would you, what would you change up?
I mean, you got to take the women out of the fight. You like, especially if it's going to be as brutal as it is or was or is going to be. You definitely got to take the two girls out. You got to make it all guys, or you got to make it all girls. The girls can kick the shit out of each other. I'm not gonna equality all the way around. It could be 10 girls.
Or the girl, kick the shit out of each other. A girl kicks the shit out of a guy. Like that's okay too. Like if Ronda Rousey's in the movie or something like that. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What you can't have is the husband tied up while the two guys just brutalize the poor girl. That you can't have.
And they fucking break his leg and just make him stand there and cry while his wife's getting beaten to death. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you put, like, a Rousey in there, like, she could probably be a good, you know, not main character maybe, but, you know, like, one of the top characters, and she could kind of team off with whoever the other superstar
is. And she could be the main character.
Like, yeah, she definitely could.
I mean, she could. But it's, I agree with you there. Mm. I think this concept is kind of, shall I say, timeless?
Yeah.
I mean, like I think no matter like whether it's 100 years ago or now, throwing 10 to 15 people on an island, last man standing, and then having some villain pulling the strings behind the curtain, I mean that's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, I mean, song as old as rhyme. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's 10 people beating the shit out of each other. There's explosions, there's fighting, there's even some weapon firing, there's some bow and arrows, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's definitely a concept that could work, but you just gotta be a little bit more 2021 about it. I'll just put it that way. You just can't pull off some of the stuff that they tried to pull off in this one. Because with modernize, it's just that some of that stuff is just absolutely despicable and can't be like seen through at all. But yeah, you could definitely make
it really stood out in a negative way.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But yeah, you could definitely make this, but you just got to be a little bit more, I hate to say the word political because that just makes it sound awful, but you need to be a little bit nicer about it, I guess is the best
way to put it. Exactly. It's not a political thing, Logan, just
kind
of a common decency thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Logan and I were planning on doing a double feature for you, where we did The Condemned and See No Evil. But given we searched for See No Evil, and this is a sad state of affairs, folks, but it is not available digitally to purchase or rent. Period. Period, period, period. So the only option Logan and I had would have been to have a DVD physically mailed to us. So we opted to just do The Condemned for this podcast, and then working under the assumption that See No Evil will eventually become available at one point or another digitally. We don't mind forking over a few bucks, guys. I mean, we love doing the show. I'll buy See No Evil, but I'm not going to wait for the DVD to come in the mail. And I haven't played a DVD probably since 2011. So I don't even know. I don't even know if I would be able to do it.
Yeah, I'd have to dust off the old Blu-ray player to be able to list or watch anything like that. So I don't even know if they made a Blu-ray for that. So it might not even work.
I have a PlayStation, but I think like it's a newer one. So yeah, they might have even just taken away that capability. Like no one's going to use this.
Yeah, absolutely. I get what you're saying.
But so we were going to do the double feature, but instead of just not doing a show, we thought it would make sense to talk about The Condemned. And we wanted to go a different route then. So we were kind of trying to do different things on the show. We've done a comedy. Our last movie that we watched was certainly the heaviest movie that we've done, which was Man on the Moon. So we wanted to go from kind of like that thought-provoking, heavy, really kind of make you think and evaluate things kind of movie to a movie that doesn't make you think at all, not even a little. Yeah, where you can just watch and the good guys are clear, the bad guys are clear, and you watch the good guys kick the shit out of the bad guys. And we enjoyed it. At least I enjoyed it. How about yourself, Logan?
No, yeah, I definitely enjoyed it for the most part. You know, obviously the stuff we've talked about, you could take that part out and it would probably be a little bit more enjoyable. You know, it's a WWE film, like I said at the beginning, like it's not going to be plot heavy. It's not going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen. You don't need to go in thinking it's going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen. If you like action, if you like fighting, if you like a little bit of, you know, if you like blow them up, shoot them up kind of stuff. This is kind of a really good, I think this is a good movie for you to watch. If you just have a spare, I don't remember how exactly long it was. I think it's like an hour and a half. But, you know, if you have a spare hour and a half, I wouldn't, it's actually almost 3 hours. So never mind.
Hour and 53, it's not almost 3 hours.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I misread that. Never mind. Sorry.
Hour and 53 minutes, 3 hours. Jesus. Well, fucking Titanic.
No. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not quite 2 hours. Never mind. Yeah, I misread that. I'm sorry. I got you. But yeah, if you have a spare 2 hours on a Saturday, I wouldn't tell you not to watch this. But you know, it's a good movie. If you like an action movie, I'd definitely go out and watch it.
Completely agree. Especially if you're a wrestling fan, Stone Cold is
absolutely
is pretty cool in it. So. Enjoyable flick. We'll be back next month with another flick. I think there's a good chance we're going to go back to the 80s and try to find something with one former governor, Logan. You good with that?
Oh, I think I could be all right with that.
I think I could be all right with that too, my friend. So we're here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network, your favorite home for podcast listening. Logan is going to go through some of the other great content that we have available that we would strongly encourage that you check out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have some great wrestling podcasts. We have some comics podcasts, but I'll go through some or all of them right now. I'll tell you about a little bit about them. Wrestling Warzone, we got JT and Chad going through the Monday Night Wars. They look at the Nitro and Raw from each week, and if they get to a pay-per-view, they obviously look at the pay-per-view. No Holds Barred, that's JT and Aaron. They go through kind of a potpourri of topics. They'll do some live watches. They'll make some lists. They'll rank pay-per-views by how great or, you know, where they think they fall in the rankings. Extreme Three-Way Dance been on a little bit of a hiatus with the Peacock stuff moving all over. They're kind of waiting until all the stuff's on the Peacock version of the WWE network so they can kind of go right through and not have any trouble. But that's just going through ECW, as you could probably tell from the name. The year that was, that's Aaron by himself. He ranked all the pay-per-view years. He watched every pay-per-view in WWE history, and he's going through the years ranking them all. Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, that's one of my favorites. That's Jake Williams. He's going through the Ruthless Aggression era. He's in October of 2002 right now, so he's getting right around where he's getting to No Mercy, which is a pretty well-known pay-per-view. TNA Never Dies, that's Aaron, JT, and Jenny. They're going through TNA from the beginning. Definitely a crazy wild ride that is. JT does his mailbag like one Saturday a month. He kind of reads listener questions. Now Earning the Rumble, that's Aaron and JT. They're going through each Rumble entrant throughout the years. They started in 88. They're going to work all their way to, I guess, they'll eventually catch up in about 20 years. So Second Print Comics, that's Mark and Rimso. They talk about different comic storylines and all that kind of stuff. Rank and File is Jordan Duncan's show. They're going through a greatest theme song, TV theme song tournament right now. It's pretty interesting. He usually has a couple guests on that show. We have This Week in the NFL, This Week in Sports with you, Roger, and your dad, J.A.D., and Ryder. New Gen on a Mission has Justin Pratt and Tim Slomka. They're going through the new generation era. They have our show, of course. Viewer's Choice is after every pay-per-view takeover, AEW pay-per-view. They kind of give you a live reaction to it. That's all that we have on the feed right now. We have a few shows that'll pop in here and there, but listen to all of them. They're great shows, but done by great people. So, just a good feed for your listening ears for sure.
Thanks so much, Logan. And yes, we will be we will be back soon with This Week in the NFL. The end of summer is coming, and cannot wait. So we have a little bit of a heavy heart here, in that we are two nights removed from the Suns going down in six to the Bucks. Ryder upset about it. I've talked to him though, and Giannis is everything that's good about sports. Very likable guy. We're very happy for him, and these things happen. But Ryder will recover eventually, and we will be back on the air. And then last but not least, so I don't believe we've had a show since this has happened, but we lost a good friend from the North-South Connection and Place to Be family. Calvin Crow is a good friend of mine and Logan's, and I know he listened to our show. He listened to all the shows, and someone who I, got to know real well. We shared a love for sports gambling and would talk about that a lot, and just a real, real nice, funny dude that we're all going to miss. So this is the first show I've been on since Calvin passed. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Calvin. May you rest in peace, my friend. And until we see you on the other side, we love you, buddy. So for Logan, I'm the Cowboy. So that's for Crossland of the Cowboy. Cowboy and Crossland, your favorite duo. We'll be back in a month. Please reach out to us directly if you have a favorite Jesse Ventura movie or any other movie that you'd like to see. And we will consider doing it at one point or another, as long as you ask nicely. Any parting words, Logan?
Nah, yeah, definitely rest in peace to Calvin. We'll definitely miss him and his stories. But you did a great job with that ending right there. So,
so much. So thank you to the listeners. We will be back in a month. Take it easy.